This week on your Old School RuneScape Update, Forestry Part 2 arrives, and we share how this has made woodcutting fun again. We also offer our take on random events and those lovely campfires. We then provide an update on what we've been doing and take a first look at the rewards from Perilous Moons. This is the Old School RuneScape Update, Episode 0, recorded Saturday, October 28th, 2023. Logging on. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Old School RS Update. This is a brand new podcast. Well, maybe not new, depending on your perspective, but definitely new to the airwaves and whatnot. We have a wonderful selection of RuneScape news to talk about, amongst other things, this week. But, of course, some introductions first. I am here with my co-host, Sirion. Welcome.
Hello, hello, hello.
Introduce yourself for a little bit to our listeners, new and old.
Hi, I'm Sirion. I've been with the show, I don't know for how many years, at this point. I originally started playing RuneScape in the classic era. I was a wee little kid back then. Not anymore, but I was back then.
Maybe in some
areas I definitely am. I didn't play for a long time. Like, I went through this phase in middle school, we call it here. So like age 12 to 18, where playing RuneScape was like uncool, so you didn't do that, right? Like,
yeah, I know that.
So I stopped for a long time. So I wasn't actually there during the 2007 peak years, you know, as people call it. I think I came back in like 2012 or something like that, just before that.
And as they say with that, the rest is history. Somehow that led you to a place called Clan Quest, which is, of course, the clan that we're both a part of. And after that, somehow that led you to RSVNB Update, the main flagship show that's been running for many moons, of course. And here we are. Something has brought us to Old School RuneScape, and we're just so keen to share our old school adventure with you guys and do some analysis and diving into the week's updates, but more on what OSRS update is later in the podcast. There any other fun stories about yourself that you want to share with the listeners before we move on?
Well, back in the day, I was actually sneaking out to buy like prepaid passes to buy membership because I didn't want my parents to know I was paying for a game online. So that's how I started becoming a member in RuneScape, by sneaking behind my parents' back, go to a physical store to buy prepaid money passes to buy membership. That's how much I wanted to play.
And that of course carries things forward to why you're doing a podcast in the evening on Saturdays. So
yeah, exactly.
A little bit about myself before we get into, of course, what we've been doing on RS and just the wonderful adventure that Old School has been this week. I've been part of the RuneScape community since, according to my account data, 2001, but I didn't start playing in earnest until 2004. So I was there for it all. I was there for the removal of the wilderness. I was there for the wilderness coming back. I was there for the time when Old School was actually created. I had vastly different opinions on it back in the day, but that's of course a topic. That's of course a topic for another show. And all through that has been, of course, our community RSVNB and the RSVNB Update podcast. And our goal, of course, is to primarily focus on Old School here. But just as this is the pilot episode, bit of an introduction for us, your co-hosts here. And of course, my favorite skill in the game is farming. It's still that favorite skill in Old School. And I want to get my untrimmed farming cape someday. That's going to be the goal, I think, the primary goal. And every week, and this is a fun story here, the thing I can log in to do on RS at any time is a farming run. Whether it's a tree run, a fruit tree run, a produce run, or even just a simple herb run, which we know is a wonderful, wonderful moneymaker. And that's what I start my week off with, and that's what I carry through the entire week of RuneScape play. It's something, as people know, if you're not 100% aware of, great way to make money in the game, and it especially if your account isn't something that has established in many millions and millions of GP on it. Well, those herb runs are something that we definitely look forward to, and carrying that through. I think I probably have done at least a half dozen plus or so this week. I know I could be doing more, but in addition to that, there's been just so many things on Old School this week that have drawn my attention away from the farming. And you know, when it comes down to it, I think we should perhaps tell the listeners about how we got started on this Old School adventure almost a year ago at this point, because we're questers as well. And this thing started by just saying, yeah, let's go see what the Old School quests look like. And that's how this whole thing got started, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about how it got started, I think it got started way, way, like, many years ago. I think when we accidentally stumbled into the wrong room at RuneFest, if you want to describe it like that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been sort of intrigued ever since. But it's one of these things, you need to spend sort of considerable time. Like, RuneScape is not a game you just play for 2 afternoons and then you're done with it, right? Like, you need to spend quite significant time, and you know, there are, I'm just going to outright say it, there are certain UX challenges in Old School RuneScape that I didn't really want to deal with. But yeah, no, I think the quests are the main reason. Of course, you get some cross-pollination, and you get some information about, oh yeah, they got Dragon Slayer 2 and Monkey Madness 2 and Desert Treasure 2.
And an entire new Western continent to explore with some interesting quests.
Yeah, no, we'll probably get into that in like a later episode.
Yeah.
I had not expected much of it, but it's slowly become like developing into like one of my favorite pieces of lore. And I just love what, like, it's really easy to see either game as a version of the other, and it is, right? Like, it's funny visiting places in RS3 that look still almost as bad as they look in Old School, right? They haven't touched in ages. Like, there's a very solid core, and I think you've mentioned a few times, like, oh yeah, I did this quest in Fresh Start Worlds and it has hardly changed.
Yeah.
What, like 15 years now, at least, since it came out, but
yeah, and it got to the point where, you know, after that was done, I was having trouble remembering what the differences between the Old School experience and the Fresh Start experience were.
Yeah.
And those are the things that bind the two games together, but there's also, of course, so much that we do in our Old School play sessions that just carries us forward. Did anything like, were you, let's just say, walking down the street, and do you see anything interesting this week that is worth mentioning?
No, not really. I mean, Old School it's much more social in a sense that you just see more people. Like, I'm still astounded looking at the world list and seeing how many players there are per world and how many worlds there are. If you compare it to RS3, it's obvious. It's a much more densely populated game. That always surprises me. Not necessarily this week, though, but like, I way back when, like, this was in the, like, one of the first few months I think we started playing, we were doing one of the quests, and one of the players just came and said something, I don't remember exactly what, but something like, you go get him, boys, or something like that.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's very random, but I cannot for the love of me imagine this happening in RS3.
Yeah, so, that's exactly the case. And, you know, I had a similar experience minutes off the boat in Lumbridge when I first brought the account in last December. So, it seems to be a consistent thing. And, I mean, I mentioned things like the questing. I mentioned things like the herb runs. But there's also Slayer. And same thing with what you said there. I've been working on Slayer. It's not my favorite skill. It's not my favorite skill. I need to be 100% honest with the folks listening here. It's level 24. right now, and I want to get it to 40 for some quests, but oh my god, it's a grind. And the people around in the world have made that more entertaining, dare I say. It's as simple as that, really.
Yeah, no, it's true. It definitely doesn't feel as much of a single player game as many other games do.
Yeah, and you know, I think the place where we really underscored that was in terms of wanting to bring this show forward. What we like to do each and every week is we like to talk about the updates of the week. And of course, what was the main update of the week, Sirion, this week? Right? Forestry Part 2.
Forestry, yes. Yeah. Yes.
And again, you see that same community thing in the places you go, even on the non-forestry worlds. And I think we were, I don't know about you, but I was definitely shocked looking at this as like, holy cow, this feels like the woodcutting rework. Because I'm going to be 100% honest, I haven't really trained woodcutting since earlier this year, since before forestry came in. So I wasn't 100% up on the events. And I looked at the events that came in with this week and the changes that came in with forestry batch one. And oh my God, woodcutting is fun.
I did a good chunk of woodcutting a while ago before forestry came out.
Yeah.
I think around the time they announced forestry and the mechanics, I was like, okay, I'm gonna stop training for woodcutting now because I want to see how it is after. With the update, I've experienced two completely different skills in the same skill. Right. So
I want to press the pause button there because I want you to expand on that, because for folks who might not be aware, this is something that past listeners of Update might be aware of if you're joining us for this. But for everybody else, when you say two different skills, explain how you get to that conclusion.
Well, it's just they feel completely separate in the sense like I had two different experiences with it. So when I started, I was like, okay, let's try and play this on a forestry world, right? And I came on there, I was like, oh, there's a lot of people here behind the bank at Sears Village. A lot of people. And one of the events had just spawned, I think. And it was just so many people teleported in, did the event, and then ran away, right? And this happens every few minutes when there's an event that spawns. All these people teleport in, and they move away. And there's events pretty continuously. A lot of things are happening. I'm like, all right, I guess this is forestry. It's very social. Some people are just sitting here doing the events. Other people are doing the more try-hard thing where they teleport around. Yeah. But I also wanted to try out the skill just by myself. Mm-hmm. Right? I was like, you know what?
Same.
I just want to just go and do some woodcutting by myself, right? I think I spent about 20 minutes or so, and I didn't get a single event. I was like, okay, this is still the same as before. And to me, that feels so vastly different between those two experiences, to the point where I'm like, if I really am in a mood where I can't deal with people, I would do woodcutting by myself. But if that's not the case, which is probably going to be most of the times, there's no reason to not go to a forestry world.
Yeah, and you know, when you say, I just want to say that, you know, one thing I noticed, you mentioned that it felt the same as it did before, but one thing I noticed with the woodcutting side, especially after these updates, comparing the previous before forestry and after forestry, I still notice that the trees don't disappear randomly and they're on fixed timers. And, you know, that's something that I've wanted for so long with the trees. So I really appreciated that quality of life aspect that came in with forestry. And granted, that didn't come in with this week's. It was batch ones, mm-hmm. but it's just nice seeing an evolution of the woodcutting skill, not only for the social communal aspect of it, but also if you just want to go train it solo somewhere, which I think is nice.
Yeah, no, I like, sure, there are definitely changes that add to the solo stuff, and I think it made it better, but they really highlighted the social aspect of the skill with this, and you know, woodcutting being a social skill, what's this magic you're talking about? But it works, right? It really works. I mean, right now it's release week, you know, people are getting all the rewards. I hope this gets sustained. This is very new to me, right? Like, I know that if this were like RS3 in a week, like, this would be desolated. Maybe not quite, but that's how it goes. And I'm very curious to see how active this continues to be, because, you know, I think for one of our quests, Shades of Morton, we had to do the ghost. No, not the ghost. The temple. We need to rebuild the temple, right?
Yeah.
If you remember that. So we went to the world for it. And there were like a bunch of people just actively doing that little mini game.
Yeah, and you know, I think, and I don't want to put the cart before the horse here, but I think that's definitely going to be a consistency with how this game operates.
Exactly, and by adding more of these elements even to the skilling, I think it's good to see that the game embraces this, right? It's like, let's get rid of all the competitiveness. I mean, I don't want to go too deep into the whole shooting star discussion, because that's been ongoing for a few weeks, and whatever we say now, it probably has already been said numerous times, but like that too, they're really trying to get people to just to not create a situation where it is worse if there's other people with you.
Yeah.
Because that...
Yeah.
And that might get hard in certain situations where you want to create scarcity in terms of resources, but yeah, it works for woodcutting.
Yeah, and you know, I think what it comes down to is the fact that there's this huge collection of social events available for it as well, and you are rewarded for jumping on that bandwagon and, you know, aiming for that social play. And of course, like you said, if you don't want to, you don't have to. And that's one thing I think that we see in MMOs a lot in this era, is that, you know, the MMO, massively multiplayer online RPG, is supposed to be a game that you play with other people. But over time, you look at all the other MMOs, and, you know, there's big raids and whatnot in World of Warcraft and ESO and the like, and those are designed to be played, you know, with 10 plus other people. But at the other time, you're solo questing yourself. And, you know, you ask yourself, what is RuneScape's equivalent of social gameplay? And this is something that old school RS has done really well with all the events that came out this week, like the Friendly Ant, Beehive, Pheasant Control, the Poachers, Enchantment Ritual, and they also reworked the Leprechauns this week. Do you have a favorite event from the ones you've experienced?
I mean, from the new ones, I haven't seen the Beehive or the Leprechaun. I've seen the other ones. I mean, the Friendly Ents, they are just annoying, I find. It's a good one.
Yeah,
and I think the enchantment ritual was sort of fun, because there's a small puzzle element to it.
Yeah, that one was a little bit weird. I didn't quite get that one when I saw it, but you know, after I spent some time with it, I was like, okay, this could be interesting. And the one thing I will say that wasn't immediately clear, and maybe this is because, you know, we're not 100%. Old school veterans, been here since day one at this point, but did you run into any issues with trying to figure out what exactly to do for some of these events in terms of, you know, trying to figure out how to complete them, or because I had to go to the wiki for a couple?
Yeah, I mean, the ants I figured out by myself. The pheasant control, once you get stunned once or twice, you know. poach is not much you can do there. The enchantment ritual I figured out by myself. So, like, these new ones, I haven't seen a beehive. I hadn't had a lot of trouble with. The ones I did have trouble with were some of the older ones. So, the flowers, I still don't get, I'll be honest. And the other one I struggled with was the struggling sapling, where you have to find the best combination of mulch. I just didn't realize that you had to combine different sources until the very end.
Yeah.
I was just grabbing bad things all the time.
Right. Or just, you know, kind of hoping for the best and kind of, you know, firing into the dark there. That definitely was my first experience at the sapling ones. And I actually didn't look at the wiki on that one. Maybe there's some kind of run of what the best combination on that would be. But I guess that's dependent on your spawns as well in terms of what you get. But I'm going to say something that might be sacrilege.
Oh?
They made random events fun.
I don't know. Like, it's a mixed bag for me. But I don't mind it so much. It definitely breaks it up. And you get some more XP from it as well, so it's definitely worth it. It's probably not worth it if you're trying to max out the number of logs you get, but overall, it breaks up the monotony that the skill is otherwise, so...
But you know what we all want at the end of the day, right? Two-handed axes.
Do we, though?
I think they look pretty neat, even just for the, you know, visual aspect of it.
Yeah.
10,000 anima infused bark and 500 oak logs noted for this.
Yep.
Chops at the same speed as a regular axe.
I have to say, by the way, that I love the fact that you also have to input some logs into this system. Like, it acts as a sink for these logs. Which is a great way to balance all the people doing more woodcutting, getting more logs into the economy, but you're sinking them again by requiring them for these rewards. Like, stroke of genius.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also the gameplay angles associated with the axes as well, where you get each successful chop gives you 10% more XP and 20% chance to not obtain a log, and with this, in goes the rations for these axes. So, I feel like having diversity of design in terms of even now being able to determine what kind of hatchet you want to use, I think that's a good thing for the game. And you know, it really shows that the people who are making this game are 100% up on, you know, the fact that you can go left or right when you enter a room. But you look at this in terms of game dev, they know that there's two different paths you can take when you're woodcutting, and I think this nails it. So I'm very pleased.
Yeah, for sure. You know, this is definitely one of those things. If you want to maximize your XP, you go for it. If you want to maximize the number of logs, you don't.
Yeah. And there is also something that came across our desk with this update this week. You are a fan of fire making.
Oh yes. No, it's this is one of the stupidest things, right? Like, fire making is such a useless skill. And somehow it sparks my imagination and I like it. I don't know why. I can't tell you why. And I'm honestly not even a big fan of line fire making either, right? Like, that's not even...
You're a big fan of Winter Dot.
Yes, I got into that, like, not too long ago, and I think it's amazing. I would love to have a deeper discussion on skilling bosses in general, but I think it's really well designed, and, you know, I can't wait for me to just go back there and, you know, I think fire making might become my untrimmed cape.
With campfires?
Yeah. Campfires? I don't know. I have to say, though, I love campfires. I think
50% less XP per hour. You really willing to give that up?
Yeah, and you know, we all know what happened with bonfires in RS3, right? You never see lines anymore. And yeah. This, to me, is like, it's great. It gives you a choice. Do I want to do line fire making, which is basically hands-on on a keyboard, you need to continuously click things, right? Or do I want to do Forest's Campfire, which, you know, I don't want to call it AFK-able, but you could do it on the spot as well, right? Which is
while you would click
a tree.
Yeah.
Build the inventory, which is more AFK-able than before, because the trees generally stay longer, or at least they're more consistent, so you know when to look. And then you just create one of these fires, and you click, and you wait, and it's like, it's so nice and low intensity, and it's going to be best XP per hour? No. But
at the same time, you're getting all that woodcutting XP at the same time, because I think that's, like you mentioned, that's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, and it feels like I'm not an Iron Man. I don't think I ever could be. I'm too impatient for that. But I love the idea of being self-sufficient in some of these things, and this is a really nice sort of closed loop. I don't think I will train fire making like this a lot. For me, it's a less wasteful way of getting rid of my logs. I could drop all the logs, right, that I cut if I want to train wood cutting, or I could get a little bit of fire making XP out of it. Sure, it will be slower in the end, but like, I think there's good choices.
And once again, just like we have the choice in woodcutting, there's a choice with fire making as well.
The nice thing is none of the choices feel bad. Like, each of them seem to have some kind of situation where they're worth it, right? And that's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, combine this with an Inferno X, and you get some of the logs being turned into fire automatically. So it combines really well there as well.
Mm, wonderful. Wonderful. And, you know, we've been talking a lot about the skilling side here because that's what we've been doing. But another thing that you can expect to see in the podcast going forward, you know, until leagues start, because we don't know what the update cadence is going to look like with leagues. But we got some new information this week on Perilous Moons, a part of Varlamor. And of this, what most jumps out to you?
For this week, definitely, I was really excited about, I've got what it's called again, the Blood Rages set.
Okay. Why specifically that one?
I mean, it's probably a little bit of a cliche, but dual wields. I just, like, I'm serious, right?
Okay.
Like, I've always really liked the idea of dual wielding. Like, I've had a D&D character that did it before, and if I get to pick between two-handed or dual wielding, I will pick dual wielding most of the time, right? Like, that's, I don't know, I don't even know if it's realistic, right? If you look at actual fights, if people will actually do it. But to me, it always sort of, that's the fantasy, right? And it's a fantasy game. I want to fulfill that. And the fact that this sort of lets you go completely ham with dual wielding, that sounds really exciting to me. And that's what I want to sort of try. Like, that's great. I also have to say, like, if I look at the outfits and look at the names, it looks like this is very sort of Aztec and Mayan inspired, and those cultures just don't get enough exposure in fantasy games, I feel. It's always either sort of Western traditional fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
If you get anything else, it's Asian, right?
Yeah.
And I love sort of the Central American. Like, there's so much, like, in my own D&D world, there's a huge faction that's sort of inspired by this, and I've been doing a lot of research, and, you know, sure, human sacrifice, they're not the peachiest people in the history of the world, but, you know, there's so much cool stuff in there, and just looking at how the outfits look and looking at the weapons, yeah, basically.
All right. Yes. Mine's going to be a little bit different. It's actually going to be the Eclipse set, And, you know, just looking at the artwork that's shown with this, you're right that you can definitely see that sort of influence on it. You can see it in Blood Rager, but, you know, if you look at the Eclipse one as well, you can see that same sort of influence coming through.
I mean, the Blood Rager set also exposes abs, and you know how I feel about abs, so...
I'm just gonna let that one sit without context for a couple weeks as we as we do this. Because it's more fun that way.
Okay.
But I have to talk with the Eclipse stats about the potential hybridization of it. Because if we look at this at the dev blog here, it says, like Frostmoon Gear, this is a hybrid set where Eclipse combines great ranged accuracy and melee strength to create a deadly offense. And I remember talking to you before about how range could have multiple different aspects of it thrown in, and we were initially at one point thinking agility would go well with ranged.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we ever thought melee plus ranged.
No.
And that's an interesting combination, and I want to see how it pans out.
Yeah, for sure. And I just, like, I mean, we are right in the target audience for this as well, I feel, right? Like, this is mid-level PVM. It's meant to be, what is it, like, between Barrows and God Wars sets, and I think we're getting to the point where we might be able to take on the Barrows brothers. Maybe.
Yeah.
So this is sort of right, like, by the time this comes around, we could definitely take this for a spin, and these sets would be perfect for us at that time. So
yeah.
I just love, like, they're definitely taking some risks in here and doing some experimentation, and I don't know enough about the game yet to be any glaring problems with this, and I'm sure that there's those of you out there that do. Hopefully in due time we will
let us know what your favorites are, and if you see any problems with this in terms of balance, we'd be interested to have that discussion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And and I also want to know, are burn effects, specifically dots like that, an interesting effect that people at Old School are interested in seeing? Because that's another thing that I'm always big on is set effects, and this one, 20% chance to burn a target, and the burn deals 1 damage every 4 ticks for 40 ticks for 10 damage total. And you can stack burns. So, and that's really what drew my eye to these. But like you say, this definitely does seem to be in the level range that we're coming up to and will be a part of for this. And it's interesting because aside from Slayer, I don't know about you, but I haven't done any PVM in Old School yet. So that's going to be interesting.
No, I don't think I have either. I've been meaning to, but no, I haven't. And the nice thing is, like, this is actually, again, social activity, right? Like, you can actually do this together with friends, it says. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And all in all, I like the encounters that you do, where it's not just a single room with a boss that just respawns, like this,
and you're not killing it, like, on rinse and repeat, and
yeah, exactly.
Sort of
this is sort of a dungeon, and, like, it's almost sort of a mini raid if I interpret this correctly. Like, there's going to be some skilling and some walking around. It's very similar to Barrows, I guess.
And you know, another thing we jump up and down about is that there's going to be an intermediate level quest paired with this stuff.
Oh yeah, Valamore. I'm so looking forward to all the lore there. Like, what I've seen so far, love it. And if the quality of what we've seen so far on that continent is anything to go by, it's going to be amazing.
I'm itching for one of our upcoming episodes where we actually get to discuss one of the quests there, because I might be, you know, teasing a bit of what comes on future episodes here, but I had always wanted a quest like that in game, to the point where on the RS3 side, I was asking various JMods if they'd ever consider building one like that for one of their game jam projects. And lo and behold, shortly after I asked that, Old School comes out with that kind of quest. If that gives any hints to anybody about what quest I am talking about on Zaya. So Not to read too much into that, but I think I'm good on the on these rewards for perilous moons, or as the typo in the show notes initially said, perilous moves.
Yeah. I'm also, yeah, like, there's also some, like, I love the bladed moon as well. Defenders is something we are actually working towards now in the game, right? Getting the melee stats.
That was my idea. That was my idea, and you recoiled at it initially.
Yeah, and they're now coming with, like, a thing that is sort of, it sits between, is it rune and dragon, I believe, right? It's...
Where does it sit?
Similar stats defensively to the Mithrakite Shield, and one less melee strength bonus than a Dragon Defender. So it sort of, it combines the best of both worlds, and it's untradeable. And this is one of the items I might actually grind for. If the boss are sort of fun, it definitely sounds like something I would want.
Yeah, and you know, we're not end game old school PVMers yet. So I mean, if the idea of getting defenders is sacrilege as well, please do let us know, because I know there's lots of games out there that primarily aim to min max DPS, and if you're going for something in between, it's sometimes frowned upon as either, you know, you should focus on your defensives or you should focus on your DPS. So. We're going to have that PVM discussion one day, and like I said, my old school combat experience has been limited to Slayer,
and a lot of what are they called?
Crabs.
Ammonite crabs. Yeah, a lot of ammonite crabs.
Yeah. Good fun little AFKing activity to do, but yeah. In any case, if this were not the pilot episode of Old School Update, we'd be bidding you all farewell at this point. But on this episode, we kind of just want to take a moment and talk about, in addition to the updates we talked about and what we've been doing, we want to talk about why we're here in the introduction of Old School Update. And I want to start off by defining what a podcast is. We see a lot of content posted to YouTube, and a lot of this content is one shot, or maybe there's a few in a series and they get called podcast. But in general, what a podcast needs to do, and this is a definition that I've settled on over the years, is that it's something that needs to be recurring with a set panel or a set host, and of course with that the sub panelists can rotate out, and it needs to be a recurring discussion focused around one central key idea, in this case being old school RuneScape. And in addition to that, it is going to be published on a number of podcast listeners out there like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, so on and so forth. And in my view, and this is in my definition of podcasting,
You sound like such a gatekeeper for podcasts right now.
Well, see, the thing is when you highlight this and you see one episode of something posted on YouTube and called a podcast, that's not a podcast. It becomes a podcast if you move closer and closer to the point where it's published regularly, but it also needs to be published on places like Spotify and Apple Podcasts, just to name a couple of that. And our goal is to bring that format to you guys, our listeners, and discuss the old school updates of the week with a series of discussions about what we've been up to in RuneScape. And it doesn't get any simpler than that, I think. And I think when we sat down and said, okay, we're going to do this old school update show, we look at this and we say, yeah, okay, back to first principles. It's a discussion between two people. Sometimes there will be guests on the show. I've already started reaching out about who that might be at various times. And it's the primary goal is to have that discussion. What have we been doing in RuneScape this week? What are the updates of the week? And how have these updates affected us? And are they neat? Are they fun? And the most important thing, underscoring all this, is that we want to share the passion that we have with this game, with a whole community out there. And that's what we want the people who come on the show to be able to do. And we hope that you guys listening will take interest in that and do the exact same thing. Share what you have been experiencing in the week in RuneScape with us in our community and discussions around these episodes. And if anything, the episodes act as a catalyst.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, the way I look at it, right, is there's always a sense of, at least for me, it's a little bit scary moving into a new community and a new game, right? Especially one like old school RuneScape that has so many passionate people and has a little bit of a reputation of, you know, what's the right word I'm looking for that? Like competition with RS3, right? Like a rivalry almost between
the right.
So I was a little right. bit anxious to find out what I would see and what we would find in there. And honestly, I've been very positively surprised.
Like, yeah. And I mean, that idea of there being rivalry or competition between the games is something I think that a lot of people think of. And it comes to, I think, how old school first was created. But I think the first thing that really, and this is probably a good place to end this episode on, is with a story. You mentioned RuneFest at the start of the show and how we walked mm-hmm. into the old school keynote by accident there. And, you know, we just kind of had to sit down and we were taken in with that. And it's always been in our minds since then. But I want to tell the lunch story. Or maybe it was dinner, but it was definitely some form of, you know, snack time at RuneFest. The tables there are shared. And this was at the Farnborough venue in 2018. The tables there are shared. And we were sitting down and we were just having a bite to eat. And these two other people say, hey, can we share your table with us? And they're like, yeah, okay. And one of us says, you know, what have you guys found the most interesting today? And they go into something about old school. And we learned that they're old school players. And at the time we were primarily RS3 players, and just like that, that barrier between old school and RS3 just 100% disappeared, and we were, you know, one singular RuneScape community, the four of us having a discussion about what they liked about the old school talk and what we liked about the RS3 talk, and they were interested in what we had to say about RS3, and we were very interested in what they had to say about old school. And it was at that point that, you know, I realized that, okay, this is going to be a very interesting path if we do go this way, because this game has this reputation of having of being a competitor of RS3, but at the same time, there's people in there who are just so genuine, who want to talk about their game, but are also interested in hearing about RS3, so yeah. maybe this is the beginning of something interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, this podcast is, it's my, at least for me, my attempt to give back at the community. Like, I'm not going to be here pretending I know much or anything at all about old school, but I just want to, you know, have this platform to share, you know, hey, this is what I've been doing. This is what I enjoyed about the game. And then either say thank you or maybe try and give something back. And I think we have a good history of giving constructive feedback and discussing things and highlighting awesome new things. We of course have a lot of historical knowledge about RuneScape as well, so I hope that all meshes into something that adds to the community for everyone.
Yeah, and go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm actively looking forward to, hopefully, you know, people in comments or joining us on Discord and, you know, respond to what you think or thought of the show. We're always happy to take your thoughts and bring them back into future episodes. It needs to be a conversation back and forth, I think.
Yeah.
And even though podcasts are traditionally a one-directional platform, that doesn't mean we can, you know, attempt to, you know, bring some interaction into it.
Yeah, that's my number one rule with podcasting, is that you're not talking at the listeners, you're talking to them, trying to foster that two-way street of communication. And, you know, I think with that, I'll just say that if you liked what you heard here, let us know. If you disagree with something, let us know. If you want to share your love for woodcutting, let us know. So on and so forth about anything about the show. We're just eager to hear it and eager to see where this thing goes once Leagues starts up in a few weeks at this point in time. And I'll just say, at this point in time, if you want to join us, we have our community Discord at rsbnb.com/discord, and the show notes as well can be found at update.show/OS. Granted, the show notes are light. It's just a few bullet points about what we wanted to talk about, but we have links in there to what we talked about. And of course, there's also the ability to subscribe as well, which you can do by clicking the subscribe buttons on the episode this week at update.show/OS. So with that being said, we'll be back next week for episode 1 of the Old School Update. Take care, everyone. See you then.
See ya. Bye-bye.